from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Bechukotai, Divorce the Jews. There are many faith traditions that have claimed that eventually God abrogated his covenant with the Jewish people and made a covenant with someone else. Or that perhaps the Jews had abrogated their covenant, and therefore God decided to abrogate his, and he divorced us. I'd like to address that point. In Parashat Bechukotai, although it describes a very dire situation where the Jews are very rebellious, it says, Af gam zot biotam beretzoy v'hem. Even when the Jews are in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim, I will never totally spurn them, reject them, regard them with disgust. Lo ge'altim, another word for disgust. I did not spurn them. L'chalotam, to destroy them. L'afer b'titam, to annul my covenant with them. Ani ki ani Hashem elokeichem, for I am the Lord your God. God doesn't do stuff like that. So it seems very clear. Let's delve a little deeper into this idea. Ibn Ezra says, what do you mean? I didn't despise them to totally wipe them out. So you mean you're going to wipe them out partially? As we've seen in our own last century. He says, well, I'm going to wipe them out partially, but only to give them a lesson and to help them move forward. Of course, we're not here to explain the Holocaust. No one can explain the Holocaust. We can't even explain the suffering of one person. But in terms of generally suffering of the Jewish people throughout the centuries, it's not because God hates us. It's because God wants to give us sort of a kick in the seat so that we should move on and do better. Talmud in Megillah 11a, Shmuel explains that the whole Megillah, the Purim, it's all about the idea that no, Haman could not destroy us completely because it says that we would not totally destroy us. He wouldn't destroy us in the days of the Greeks when they tried to destroy us in a spiritual sense to make us think like a Hellenist, like a Greek. He couldn't destroy us in the Nebuchadnezzar when they exiled us, making us live in another country. He's not going to destroy us. And he can't destroy us when they try to commit genocide against us, as in the days of Haman and the Persians. They just can't do it. Rabbeinu Bachye, a medieval Spanish commentator, says, based on a midrash, that avav gam zot, even this, that God will never despise us and leave us from the Torah. He'll always leave us. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazot. The one thing we always have left is the Torah. God will never despise us to not give us the Torah. Jews will always have the Torah. What does that mean? There was no generation where Jews were not great Torah scholars, whether it was in Babylonia, whether it was in Germany, whether it was in Spain, in France, in North Africa, in Middle East, wherever Jews were, Russia, Jews excelled at the Torah. We never lost that. Because Naima Torah says, you know, there are two phrases here. He won't despise us. He won't reject us. He says that he won't reject us. When people like Haman or Hitler, says Yoznaim Latorah, lived through the Holocaust, during that time, he said, will never fully destroy us in those times when they try to totally destroy us, nor when they try to swallow us up and assimilate us among the nations, we won't be destroyed either. That's why there are two languages of, I will not destroy you, I will not despise you. Now, the idea that Jews will not be totally destroyed is not a very comforting notion. It means that many Jews could be destroyed. In fact, Isaiah is the big prophet of gloom on this point, where he says, Sha'ar Yashuv, Sha'ar Yashuv. He says, the rest will remain, the rest will remain. But it's only a remnant. It's only the She'arit Yisrael, the remnant of Israel. We are all the remnant of Israel. There should be billions of Jews by now. We're such an old people. There should be as many Jews as Chinese people. But we've been destroyed over and over again. We are only a remnant of what we should be. But how long will the covenant be for? After all, couldn't there come a time where, God forbid, that he would destroy us? So it's a very simple thing. If you think that the Jewish covenant could ever be destroyed, you haven't read Genesis, you haven't read a myriad of verses in the Torah, in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Bible. Genesis 17, Avakimotir b'idcha, b'niu v'enecho v'enzarcha, chavar adorotam, b'rit olam. I will keep the covenant with you, Abraham, and your children after you, for an eternal covenant. Eternal covenant. Himol yimol, we should have a brit milah, we should have a circumcision, the covenant will be in your flesh for an eternal covenant, lo'olam, forever. Or God said that Isaac would be born and the covenant would be with him forever and forever. If that's not enough, if you think it's only the children of Isaac, not the children of Jacob, Brit Olam. Sabbath is something the Jews will keep to make a covenant, the Sabbath, the covenant for all generations, an eternal covenant. Children of Israel, eternal. Can't be destroyed because it wouldn't be an eternal covenant if it was. Psalm 105, we say it every morning, different versions, another version in the Book of Chronicles, that Asher Karat Avraham, Shvatol Yitzchak, V'amidel Yaakov, L'chok L'chok, Yisrael Bit Olam. God made a covenant with Abraham. He promised to Yitzchak, and he establishes it as a law for Israel, an eternal covenant. What? Chatein Eretz Canaan, that I will give you the land of Canaan. Let no one ever say that the Jewish people will not eternally be the masters of the land of Israel. Even if we were out for 2,000 years, it is our eternal covenant. How dare anyone deny what's written explicitly in the Bible or say that somehow the Bible is mistaken, has errors? God forbid, it's an eternal covenant. Looking for a covenant in the future, we're talking about the covenant from the days of Abraham, the days of Sinai, going into the future. But in Ezekiel, it also says that one day God will establish Hakimoti lach Brit Olam, Isaiah 16:60, a Brit Olam, a covenant forever. And lest you think, well, we're married, but you know, when you're married, you can get divorced. And maybe God divorced us, so it says in Isaiah explicitly, Ko Amar Hashem, Eizeh Sefer Kitutim Chem Asher Shilachtia. Where is the book of divorce? In Judaism, you have to have a text, you have to have a piece of paper, the get, the writ of divorce. Where is it? Where is Omi Minoshai? And of which of my creditors was it to whom I sold you off? He Hashem Rechadji Etchem Lo. He says, yes, you've been sent because of your sins, but there's no writ of divorce. Where is it? Show me that writ of divorce. He says, now, you might say, what about in Jeremiah 3, where it says, I saw the wayward Israel, the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes, I gave her a Sefer Ketut, I gave her a book of divorce. But it says right there, Lo Yarabah Gidah Yudah Chotah, that isn't Gamhi, the brothers, the southern tribes, the Judah and Benjamin, we didn't listen. And we also were unfaithful, but it doesn't say that he gave us a writ of divorce. That says Ibn Ezra, that's only for the northern kingdom, but the southern kingdom was never, shall never be given a writ of divorce. And in fact, Jeremiah says in chapter 3, he says, Meshuvah Yisrael, the wayward one of Israel, come back. I will not bear a grudge forever. God follows his own Torah. He doesn't bear a grudge. And he is a chassid. He is righteous. He will continue to favor us. The Vilna Gaon says that, it says in Gemara and Shavuos, Lamed Vav Men Aleph 36a, it says in the Talmud, if someone says, no, no, that is an oath. And God says it here, I will not despise them. I will not reject them. It's like an oath. The Zohar says, L'chalotam, midrashically, kabbalistically, mystically, it says, I will not, L'chalotam, to destroy them. You know why? Because Kala, they are my Kala, they are my beloved, they are my wife. When you have a beloved girlfriend, and you marry her, and you live with her so many years, you don't reject her. You find a way to get back together. Or maybe Kaltanav, she maybe comes from the word L'chalot. God is longing for us always. Of course he wants to get back with the Jewish people. And also mentioned the Baal Shem Tov says something, it's kind of humorous. He says, look, you know, you guys are not the greatest, but when you're among the exile, when you're living in Germany, when you're living in Iraq, God looks around at those around you and he says, well, relatively speaking, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very clear statement in Genesis, in Isaiah. It's very clear. The Jewish covenant can never be abrogated, and that includes a return of the Jews to the land of Israel. Whether it's today or tomorrow, it will be, and it will be forever. Labrit Olam, Chatein Eretz Canaan, because it was told as an eternal covenant, the Jewish people will return to the land of Israel. The Jewish people are married to God, connected with God, counting toward Shavuos. Shavuos is the nuptials. It's the wedding of God and the Jewish people. And although in Jewish law, a divorce is possible, but when it comes to God's eternal covenant, that would be a violation of his covenant. And although Jews, at times we have fallen short of the covenant, God from his side will never divorce us. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lamed Congregation for a discussion of this important topic. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha, various holidays. Wish everyone a happy upcoming Shavuos. And with thanks to our producer, Jason Lefkowitz. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.